something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT,
Will Smith and the smack heard round the world.
We talk about where we're going to have a barbecue.
Plus, Keeper's Whiskey. It's a new thing I'm doing, and it's on store shelves now. It's all coming up right now on TNT.
Hey, bud.
I'm going to tell you something about Will Smith.
Oh.
Because this is, obviously, I feel like there's more history to what happened than what happened. And maybe it's not for us to speculate on the intricacies of that relationship. Obviously, talking about the Oscars where Will Smith...
The slap heard round the world.
He slapped Chris Rock, and it wasn't just clearly wasn't playful, and Chris Rock was clearly shook.
Oh man, that was a full on like karate style Bruce Lee in the face, like a masterful. Like it was a really and quick too to act like oh everything's fine, and then that last step to be a full like a golf swing turn.
Most
with the smack, like we're talking about, that's 100% there's cuts on the inner cheek for sure.
That was like Krav Maga. That wasn't like playful slap fight. That was like with intent to injure. So here's I have a lot to say about it.
It was a violent slap is what I factually is all I'm saying.
Yes. And here there's so much I want to say about it. The first thing is it shouldn't be the first thing, but one thing that really struck me is it's not even a good joke. So I don't know why Chris Rock would go for it. I know that's not the point, and I know that's not the issue, but as an aside, it's just a garbage joke. It's not timely. It's not funny. It's not like, oh, man, I can't believe he said that. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I guess he thought that she keeps her hair short all the time as a look, as opposed to knowing that she has alopecia and it's a very concerning and a terrible thing to have to deal with. So I can't imagine he would have said that with that in mind. Maybe, but again, these are both the violence of that smack and the crassness and off-puttingness of that humor, kind of like create this wall in a way that makes it almost like it's debatable. You know what I mean? Like at that, it's such a, you can see how both people on of both sides of this, of whether it was for the right reason or for not the right reason, or if it's something that I would do if it happened to me, or, you know, why would you say that? All of those things. They're just, they kind of, in a sense, wash each other out. It's so, such a vacuous thing, you know, those two things happening at the same time. And then the reaction of Chris Rock standing there takes it to a whole new level of, you know, whether it's, you know, is this happening even? And now what do I do? Do I just keep talking? You know what I mean? That whole, like, if that happens, you're like, okay, are we going to cut to commercial instantly? You figure that's what would happen, right? But it did not. And it was just kind of so 2022 in a sense. Because everything, just things that you'd never think you'd see happening on television in front of your eyes, even though it's just... what it was, but it was just such a spectacle. And I think people will be reeling from that for a while. Well, it really kind of overtook everything.
In watching it,
kind of,
I was impressed with gusts up to astonished that Chris Rock just stood there as he was walking up, because it was clear some stuff was coming. But he just kind of stood there and took it, as opposed to like backed up or ran or
thing.
Yeah.
I think that was his apology by not doing anything and letting it go in a sense and laughing it off almost, as opposed to flying into a rage and running backstage. I think that was part of his, okay, that was a bad idea. I shouldn't have said that. And I'm going to actually stay here and move on as opposed to calling my attorney or the cops, you know? So it's just all of those things happening. It was almost like that by Chris Rock having that reaction, that was part of the resolution between him and Will, and then Will crying, his acceptance, and not necessarily saying it's not because I won the award, but just this whole, what a scene that I've caused in front of all my peers.
Wait, I didn't even know that. Did Will won later in the evening?
Yeah, he won. And he was crying, and he mentioned that he basically apologizing for what happened, in a sense. And obviously being upset that this is happening when he's winning probably the most important award of his life. The dream is, you know, to be up there and doing that. And all of a sudden there's this big cloud over it. And so I don't know, man.
There's a big difference between I'm sorry for what happened and I'm sorry for what I did. You know what I mean? It's a subtle distinction, yeah, but an important one. You're sorry it happened. Well, it wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for you. Anyway, I shouldn't speak out of turn without seeing the actual quotes and knowing the actual context of all of it. But unfortunately, the narrative is now Will Smith assaulted someone during a live TV show. That's the headline. So if he was hurt or thought it was offside or thought it was inappropriate, or in if you imagine in his mind, did he think this is the honorable thing to do? This guy mocked my wife. I'm going to defend her honor. There are, I don't know, more gentlemanly ways of doing that, or, you know, use your time at the press conference afterwards to say, just so you know.
There's been moments in the past where it's like, well, is this person that, say, Ricky Gervais told this joke to that mad that they're going to do this? There's been borderline jokes many times in the past. So I think just for Will Smith to all of a sudden react like that, and not to mention having a seat 5 feet away, you know what I mean? Like,
oof.
Just standing up and it's right in there all of a sudden.
Well, so Kathy Griffin tweeted this morning, now it's game on at comedy clubs everywhere.
Oh,
and everyone's going to be like, who's the next Will Smith going to be? Who's going to come up to, like, you're doing crowd work, and suddenly some guy's like, it's not my birthday, slap.
Yeah. No,
but here's what I'm
going
to say. Indigo said this morning, I thought Will Smith was nice. And it's true. Like, parents just don't understand Will Smith. That is his. He's always been perceived as kind of friendly. In his first movie role in Six Degrees of Separation, just after Fresh Prince, he was looking to be taken seriously, did this kind of small movie and was really a breakout star in it. He went so far out of his way to make a big point of not wanting to kiss a dude in character in the movie, which was in the script. That's when that sort of hit a sour note for me, where I was like, oh man, I don't know if this guy is who he presents. Because it wasn't like he was asked about it. He went 350 degrees out of his way to say, like, I'm not kissing a dude. Which was like so unnecessary, kind of hurtful, like protest too much, like all of those things. If you're going to be an actor and take a interesting, crazy role, just do it, man. That's really impressive.
I don't remember that at all. And what was it? It was talking about being super horny or having sex all the time. That was something that came out recently, right?
Did he?
He's like, yeah, something about, like, I've had sex so many times I can't even get it going anymore. Like, some ridiculous, like
nobody needs, like, or wants those, to know,
like,
that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, something like it's, you're just saying, like, why are you telling everyone that? And what are you talking about?
You don't
about?
Have to tell What's people even? That.
No, but it's like some kind of crazy thing. I can't remember what it was. Can you Google it up for me and you find it?
But imagine you've been Will Smith since you were 18 and you're not really Will Smith anymore as far as, like, the amount of space you take up in the public consciousness. I guess you have to come up with new kicks to kind of make some noise. right?
I guess, yeah, for sure, yeah.
I always like to think I'd just be gone. You just never hear from me again. Like, that was fun, guys. Peace. Instead of clinging to it.
Yeah. So anyway, what a smack. That was a big slap there.
Well, and unfortunately, like I said, like he won an Academy Award, which I, in fairness, didn't even know, which is a great plot twist. But what a shame that that's the story today, not he won an Academy Award after all these years.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff that happened in the awards that no one's talking about that was great. So whatever.
You know what I do want to know before we move on, though? What happens in the wake of that? Does Will Smith call him? Do they have a coffee? Does Chris send an email apologizing? Like, what happens today?
Well, I guess no matter what, I mean, if you hit someone in the face, then they have the right to sue you or, like, arrest. You can be arrested for that. Now, there's obviously witness. Like, it's just one of those things that no matter what happens, when you hit someone, there's... you can get thrown in the clink, right?
Wow.
So there has to be some kind of a meeting between the two of them, I'm sure. But like, what happens is obviously will happen between the two of them. But man, that was like one of the most like intimate things I've seen in public in a long time.
Yeah. Crazy.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't have written that up. And if anyone's saying that was fake, like, come on. How?
Are people saying that?
Some people were saying it was staged. And I'm like, you can't. Like, they're actors. But that's not, like, if this was a whole new level of, and so many different levels of things that happened that made it just so real. Also, and that was what was shocking about it.
Also just didn't especially have those
Chris,
two.
Chris
yeah,
Rock's,
yeah.
Chris Rock's reaction most of it. Just kind of, you could see, it, you could tell, you could see his eyes, the decisions that were going on. He's like, hold on a second. Wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Which road do I go from here? Do I, you know, go from calling a lawyer to... just letting it go and realizing that you made a mistake and apologizing and just, yeah, all of those things, you can tell that just was so real. And again, that's what the shock is, you know, that you could tell that all of a sudden the biggest telecast in the world was stuck in its tracks.
Right. Well, yeah. I wonder if part of him is like, do I fight Will Smith back?
Yeah. There's a lot. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Will Smith, like, it's Chris Rock up there. He's a big man. Chris Rock's not as big as him. I'm sure he probably wouldn't have done that if it was The Rock who said that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, imagine.
I wonder, you know, like...
He would okay. Let's decide. If it was Kevin Hart, he would have done it. Chris Rock, he would have done it. The Rock, he wouldn't have done it. Jason Momoa, he's not doing that. That's a weird category of Hollywood. That's a weird subsection.
Jason Momoa might laugh after the smack, like big crazy laugh.
Yeah.
You call that a smack?
And then there's also like a tier of. Untouchable Hollywood, like he wouldn't have done that to Tom Hanks. He wouldn't have done that to Michael Douglas. Like there is a hierarchy.
I don't know, maybe
he would do it to Jared Leto. Like he would do it to him.
Oh, for sure.
Imagine, I wonder if there's a tier of Hollywood that people would be like, yes, good, like, finally.
Jimmy Kimmel, like, his legs would be up in the air and his man. Face on the ground.
Oh, man. Like, there are certain people that you could see him doing it to.
Like Ricky Gervais with, like, four teeth out. Talking after with a black eye and his whole side of his face swelled up like Larry
That's
from
the
Three
thing.
Stooges.
That's the thing.
after Mo having a real hard night and like back in the vaudeville days, like big smacks in the face.
I guess the thing is, he thought he was doing something honorable. He thought he was standing up for his wife in a way that was honorable. But I think you're right. There's no way Chris Rock knew that that's why she has her hair that way.
Again, maybe he did know, and that's why he did it. You got like that was the fact that over the line in his head, right?
Well, if he knew,
it's like, wait a second, he knows she has this as an issue.
Yeah, if he knows. That's so jerky.
Oh man! So what a scene. How about this 1987 jam? I'll take you right back. Right now.
Okay.
Here we go. Are you there, bud?
Yeah, what is it?
Breakout?
Don't know it. Who? Who is that?
Wow. You don't know that?
I don't know it.
Swing Out Sister. It's like a classic. It was a huge hit in 1987, but that's it.
I do not know.
I can't believe I stumped you on an 80s classic.
I know. Hit me with another one.
That never happens. That's the only one, I think.
That's the only 87
jam?
Yeah.
Well, it's 87 is insane in terms of like hits. Remember this one?
I think we're alone now.
Oh yeah, you know it.
Yeah,
see?
Yeah. It's Tiffany,
you know,
right? Were you a Tiffany guy
intro.
Or a Debbie Gibson guy?
I was a neither.
I was a neither. I was on Team Tiffany for life.
Well, because this year, I think it's because I had. You know, having older brothers and sisters was that reason why, right? Because my sister Jenny was listening to this year, it would be like the Joshua Tree came out, right? So all those U2 songs.
Man.
Big U2 going on in the house.
Same. That
right?
That record, like there isn't an air ball on it. They're all just bangers.
Yeah, and I think because I heard that record so much when I was a kid in that year, that the whole record takes me back to that year. You know what I'm saying?
Red Hill Mining Town is the jam.
That is a good jam. The sneakiness of this of that record is how much influence there is from Daniel Lanois. On the guitar and the sounds, it's just incredible. Like if you listen to Daniel Lanois' guitar playing on its own, like The Maker and songs like that, and then listen to, you know, like for example this, like still haven't found what I'm looking for.
So the just edge
the,
is
behind
is aping
guitar,
Daniel like, Lanois
not aping. Because Daniel Lanois produced this record, he was just there and adding. That was how he added ambiances with guitar and just kind of roomy, echoey, you know, echoey reverb guitar sounds that he's so good at.
Yeah.
And he creates these soundscapes, and that record is a real. They just really kind of love that and let him go free to the point where I'm sure he probably had a guitar. Going.
You think?
Those guys. I'm sure, yeah. A lot of the probably overdubs and stuff.
The delay is wicked.
I mean, Edge was happy to have him, I'm sure. He probably, he learned so much.
Back before.
He's such a wicked guitar player.
Bono was a fromage. Do you think if Bono had made the joke, Will Smith would have chopped him?
Well, by the way, sorry, I got to mention that Daniel Lanois is from The Hammer in Hamilton.
Yeah,
so
of course.
That was probably one of the biggest moments for Canadian producers was the fact that Daniel Lanois was doing a U2 record and it happened to be their best album ever, you know?
Also, their real mainstream breakout album.
Yeah, for sure. It took them from... Well, they were already, like, getting into arenas and bigger places, but that took them to stadiums around the world.
Just hitting dingers.
It just got Bono started on the ego trip that took him down, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just got so... became such a star that he became his own biggest fan, I think, that in that era. Because he even kind of toyed with it with Achtung Baby and...
That's a good record, too.
Pop records.
And then well, The Fly, yeah, like, all that got weird.
Yeah. Well, he played him. Yeah, he was like, you know, he was really into, he is into himself.
I forget, did you ever meet that Math?
I met Larry and Adam, but I never met Bono.
Where did you meet those Maths?
Larry and Adam came to a show in
did
New
they?
York. And yeah. We had the same manager, Karen Kaplan. And yeah, that's it. I've seen Bono across the room. That's it. Closest.
Is he just a little guy? Is he Kenny Chesney sized?
He's a little pudgy dude with little sausage fingers.
Aww. Sausage fingers. Let's take a break, bud.
Okay, a little short skis.
I just died in your arms tonight, cutting crew.
So fast.
Was one of these masks from Dartmouth?
No, really? No way.
Oh no, that's Crowded House. Don't dream it's over.
Yeah. What do you mean? Who? Hold up.
Oh, yeah, one of those guys is from the Mouth.
From there's nobody in Crowded House.
From the Mouth?
Speaking
sure.
of this great jam.
Was that the same year?
From the Mouth? They're all from Australia.
Yeah, one of them's from the Mouth.
Who?
Stand by.
Like the bass player? They're a trio.
Wait for
there's
it.
There's not. There can't be. That would be way too cool if...
No, there's...
There was a bod. There's nobody from Crowded House from the Dart.
Oh, yeah. Someone's from the Mouth.
Who's from the Mouth? Isn't it like the Mamas and the Papas or something?
Yeah,
right?
Denny Doherty's from the North End of Halifax. But then Cutting Crew, someone's from the Mouth. Dartmouth?
Is it Cutting Crew, maybe? You might be right.
Oh,
We love.
Listen, all my life I was searching. In Too Deep,
enough of
Genesis.
Can't get enough of Phil and the boys.
Man, Cutting Crew in Dartmouth is a hair place.
Yeah, there is no connection.
Yes, there is. The buds know.
Like, isn't it the best that, like, Bill Collins just crushing it, no matter
okay,
what.
Here you go. You ready?
He looks like he just came out of a janitor closet, but he's like, I'm going to play a stadium tonight.
I'm going to tell you something.
It's unbelievable, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, what'd
you
find?
Oh, my gosh. Kevin McMichael. Canadian guitarist, songwriter, and record producer, best known for being a member of the 80s UK-based pop rock band Cutting Crew.
Hey!
Who had a number one hit in 1987 with Died in Your Arms. They were nominated for a Grammy. Right. He was born in St. John in 1951. Here's the crazy thing. Died in Halifax on New Year's Eve 2002. Here's the thing. According to Wikipedia, I know both of his daughters.
Really?
Just never crazy. Put that together that they were.
I apologize for saying no one was in like Canadian.
Yeah,
but there you go.
He's not from the Mouth. He's from Halifax. But oh yeah, their guitarist, Dartmouth's Kevin McMichael. There it is.
There you go.
Wow.
See how stuff just like cuts into your brain, and you know, there's just shrapnel, and you somehow. Figure out what it was from the shrapnel.
Yeah, go figure. There you go. He's from the Mouth.
He's from the Mouth.
Yeah. So we're doing short skis today for a couple of reasons. One, I have to travel today to go to work in Las Vegas. And the second thing is I'm doing this pod in the truck because it's quiet here and I have 5% computer battery left, which is not the thing that should drive how long the pods are.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. But again, this is classic Canadianity where we roll how we roll, and 5% is 5%.
It's interesting how sometimes, even though it takes an hour a week, finding an hour for either of us just seems like I don't know when that's possible, just because there's, you know, stuff going on in the house or travel plans or whatever. And
I know.
And sometimes it feels like all you do is sit around for an entire week.
Well, I'm not on the road, and it's the same thing. Yeah, you find it's tricky.
But yes,
we've done pretty good throughout the pandemic, I gotta say, to try and get as weekly as possible.
We have, and it's actually been one of the things that I look forward to every week because it feels normal, and normal is at a premium. So anything we can do that feels kind of normal, I'm fully into.
And by the way, we appreciate the emails and DMs and even like comments throughout social media and all wherever you hear this pod, just that sentiment of appreciating getting together and hanging out for that 1 hour a week and getting together with us and enjoying the escape, into our world for just an hour. It's a great thing, and we actually hope we can offer more. We always say that, but we will always continue to try and grind out some more of these and keep on grinding the content. We're already talking about we've been actually floating the idea of a bodbecue,
yeah,
an actual bodbecue, because our bods at Broil King are fired up, and they appreciate what we're doing, and I think it's a cool brand fit for us for live shows and events. So we're thinking about doing a bodbecue, and we're wondering, is this late this summer? Is that too early? We're trying to figure out how things are playing out. Hopefully things are finally settled this summer and we're actually out of COVID, but if it's not this summer, then it'll definitely be next summer. But we're zeroing in on the actual bodbecue becoming a thing.
And I love idea. I love the idea of a gathering of like-minded buds. I like the idea we called it a meat and grease.
Yeah.
So maybe M-E-A-T. We cook some meat and then there's a meat and grease. And if we could get like Tim Ball. And
we could also have
Ed.
We could have a near meat and greet, which is like plant-based meat and greet.
Yeah, exactly. A meat and grease. After the show, and I keep saying show, even though I don't really know what it is. But speaking of Ed, how about this week where a couple of the BNL bods were taking a knee, and Ed and Tyler did an entire show by themselves in Manchester?
Yeah, they were half naked, as Ed called it, with just Ty and Ed, because the Covesies brought two of the bods out, and now I think Kevin's back, or I'm not sure if Andy is back. One of them is back. But anyway, we're trying to figure out when it'll be full on bare naked ladies again. Right now, it's almost naked with the three of the four. But I we love the fact that they did that. And I saw clips from the shows, and they seemed so happy. And the crowd seemed like almost like it was even more special because of the givener quality of just tying Ed Berlin. So kudos to them for getting through it and making the best of this pandemic, to be honest.
Do you know what? If I was at that show, I would be pumped. I think people like to know they're seeing something different. It's like when someone in a play flubs a line or starts to laugh or something. You're seeing someone that you know, you're seeing something that you know is different than what the people saw last night. And I would have so much love and singing along and so many claps for two buds soldiering through it. That's really cool. And I'm sure, I mean, on a much smaller scale, it's like when I had laryngitis at our show in Saskatoon. We're like, should we cancel or should we just give her? And always the answer is just give her.
That's it. We had, and we had the same thing when we've ran into that with us, when your voice bails or disappears, or if I'm not feeling it, you know, one or the other, there's always slack to be had, and you just, you know, sometimes you can make it work, which is the best thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I made a mistake by saying Andy instead of Jim. I want to fix that.
Oh yeah. But the show must go on, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess like that would be something that you'd never forget. And Ed was kind enough to share a post that a friend of his who was at the show sent to him, who basically said, I sang my heart out and cried with joy just at you guys getting it done.
Yeah, well done, Bots.
You've played shows where you should have canceled. Like barfy, yes. Migraine shows.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. But I don't think, we've pared down acoustic stuff for sure in case, because of power issues sometimes even, you know?
What do you mean?
You gotta do what you gotta do. Well, if like the PA isn't working, I've done drum solos when the PA's gone down.
Really?
when there's no mics and it was like, I don't know, I think it was in, I can't remember where it was, but it was like a half stadium outdoor racetrack vibes.
Fun.
So a big show. And the PA went down, so they couldn't even hear an acoustic. So I just played a drum solo, because at least that would carry.
Wow.
And it was like it was like 30 minutes that I had to do.
No.
Yeah, man, it was a long time.
And people were psyched at first, and then there was a lull, and then by minute 17, no, they were cool. Like, look at this guy going.
I figured there was an opportunity to just mess around, but so I didn't do just chops all day. It was kind of like call-answer stuff, some laughs, just some old-school entertainment, like with no PA.
Like, you didn't even have a mic.
Yeah, just that's it. I have the loudest thing here, so let's
crazy.
Try.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, but those are the ones you end up remembering in some ways, right?
That's it.
I was talking to Mark Forward. They're doing the Letterkenny tour through the States, and they're playing some 5,000 seaters.
Crazy.
Which is just a testament to how far that show has traveled and how Hulu just vaulted it into a whole new stratosphere.
Yeah, and they're doing great too. That's the thing. So,
yeah. Especially like comedy is a different thing. Like music, people can sing along or dance or whatever, or it's loud. But comedy, when you need people to pay attention to the words and stay with you, and especially a crowd that, like the Trailer Park audience, would be pretty banged up going to see it, I would think.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Right? Like where the audience is like, you can tell they're all banged up.
Yeah.
Why? Well, we had a couple of those, like, we made a mistake of going on too late, and it was kind of more of a bar than a
theater. Moncton.
Yeah. And, like, by the time we went on, everybody was just rifled.
People were blind on alcohol by 5:40 p.m. It was a Friday evening.
So whenever we said something, if someone thought it was funny, they were like, well, I'm going to chime in right with my bit. So like everyone was talking the whole time.
And this one girl kept yelling, Giangameshi, which is a weird rallying cry.
Yeah, it was like the worst heckle you need to hear during a show. Like, why? Why are you saying
why
that?
Why that? Of all things you could yell.
It's like the Ben Stiller vibe killer line.
What is that?
I'm just saying it was just an old saying we used to say in the studio with the Bob Rock crew. I guess even like Mick Rock, his son, we still use it on on DMs or texts or whatever, just like when something's like not happening, it's a Ben Stiller vibe killer.
Oh man. I like that line. But
yeah, and it was funnier in like the early 2000s, but yeah, it still got some weight.
Yeah, it does. It's back. I should tell the buds, I have partnered with this guy, Adam, and some other dudes on a Canadian whiskey called Keepers.
Oh yeah. The Keepers, the and, Finders Keepers.
Yeah. The commercial's, out now and it's in stores in, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick and Newfoundland and coming soon to Prince Edward Island. It's not something I ever imagined, I would do, but at this age and stage, I'm looking for different kicks, and this guy, Adam, McKay, created it and slid into my DMs and was like, I'd like to send you a bottle. And I tried it and it's great. So I wouldn't endorse something nice that I didn't think was delicious. And it's actually been a really interesting journey into how does alcohol end up in a bottle and on the shelves.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud that Keepers is in store. It's we're hopefully going to get it in stores across the country, but we wanted to do kind of soft rollout, small market, get it going, see what we're up against and if we can handle it and address any issues. But it's interesting at this particular moment when there is a cork shortage in the world and a bottle shortage and just kind of peeking behind the curtain into how alcohol is transported and who's responsible to pay for what and what the markups are in different places. One thing about Canada is obviously each province has its own governing liquor board or commission. So you're kind of starting from scratch in every province.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So there's no like, it's the Canada Alcohol Council. It's like,
so what do? You just kind of work your way east, I guess, right? You go from province to province.
Yeah. Yeah. Our partner is Rock Spirits. They're in Newfoundland. So that was the easy, first province. So now we'll just kind of go west and, Ontario is the big one. And apparently Canadian whiskey has no E when it's Canadian whiskey and it's not rye, is having a big moment in China. They can't export enough Canadian whiskey to China. So it's not a lucrative thing by any stretch, but it's just kind of a neat thing to be involved in.
And you'd play a great lighthouse keeper, I got to say.
Well, it's kind of a dark character, I saw the spot,
and it's like there's a dude dead that looks like he may or may not have been taken out with some boards on the rocks.
Yeah.
And he's got a case of whiskey and you come across it and like, this is mine now. Finders keepers.
Well, the idea is the light keeper turns the light off so that ships will crash so he can steal their whiskey.
That's it. I gotcha.
So then when he takes the whiskey, he's like, oh, finders keepers, I guess. Like finders keepers. So it's a little dark, and if the guy is dead or maybe he's just passed out, it's kind of open to interpretation. But the idea of this kind of dark keeper character really appealed to me as well.
Yeah. No.
There you go, bud. Ask at your local liquor commissions to have keepers brought in if you don't have it already. And give me the feedback, because I like hearing if you dig it. Jer, 1% battery, bud.
Okay. Well, also, everybody send in your suggestions for what you'd like to see at the barbecues.
Yeah. Meat.
Good times.
Yeah, maybe you're a smoker. Yeah. Maybe you have a brewing company, you want to sponsor it.
Or music. Perhaps some of the bods will come out and enjoy that part of it. We're gonna try and get some bods to come play with us and have some fun that way too. So it could be
super
a great
fun
day. All right, bods.
Good chatting, bud.
Good chatting, bud.